Praise the Lord. I live for Jesus day after day, after day. I live for Jesus. Like him here on earth, and we will end with him in heaven. And to do that, we must daily live for him in action, in thought, in deed, in everything. That we must do what he will want us to do. We must say what he wants us to say. We must move to the direction he's leading us. Our life entirely will be controlled and directed by him. And all of this will be possible when we submit to the Holy Spirit. Tell God this evening, I submit my life to you. I want to live for you in obedience, total obedience. What you say I should do, I will do. What you say I should, where you say I should go, I will go. Whatever that I will open my mouth to say, what you will approve. Father, help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord. Help me. Of my own self, I can do nothing, but I depend on you. Now you will help me as you allow your Holy Spirit to dwell in me and to take full charge of my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Praise the Lord. My pain is that this message would have been for those who are not here. Because every time we speak to the same people who are always here. But I pray that one day it will be repeated on Sunday. So this evening we are looking at discipleship and the Holy Spirit. Discipleship and the Holy Spirit. We know that not every discipleship program has this enough flesh or enough material to impart the believers. We have all kinds of discipleship program everywhere. But what we are going to look at this evening is the transformational discipleship program that able to impart and has effect on believers. It's expected that by God that every discipleship program should produce a level of change with an improved spiritual maturity in the life of every believer. There's no point if you go through a discipleship program and you see what you are, and you still say the raw words you used to say, and you still behave the way you behave when you don't even know Christ. It doesn't really pay. It's a waste of time. So this evening we'll look at transformational discipleship as any biblically valid process of intentional. I want you to always take note. It's biblical and it's valid and it's a process. It's not that you take from here, you take from there. No. It's prepared in a systematic form and it's intentional and deliberate so that this training will bring into the believer a level of progress that will bring a transformation which will help them to conform to the lifestyle of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you see somebody today and he passed through a process, and by the time you are seeing him tomorrow, you are seeing something different from what you see today, that is what we are talking about. Everywhere we go, we keep on telling people that God has given this ministry, and more especially with equip the ADMI, to go warning everybody, teaching them in all wisdom, so that at the end we'll be able to bring them before the Lord perfect. And it will be a great disaster if here we don't live up to that which we have been telling everybody everywhere. And that is why, as it's a pain in my heart this evening, there are people who ought to hear this and then try to conform and not hear. But I pray that God will constrain them to go to YouTube and listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. He said, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The mirror referred to here is the Word of God. Every day we are expected to see ourselves, x-ray ourselves in the context of the Word of God. The Word of God is supposed to bring a transformation out in our lives so that what we used to be will no more be that same thing. What we used to say, we will no longer be saying it. There is a song like that. He said, what I used to say, I say it no more. Where I used to go, I go there no more. What I used to do, I do it no more. There is a great change since I'm born again. There must be a great change. And this discipleship program that cannot bring a change in the life of a man is not it at all. But we are talking about what will bring you to a point of thinking, looking at yourself and looking at the world and say, I need to make a change. I need to have a U-turn. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, he said, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. There are a lot of things that are happening here on earth today. You can believe with me that in the church today, many are being mesmerized. Too many things are going on. And unfortunately, these are the places people are rushing into, because their spirit man is dead. They couldn't understand. But for us, we're encouraging each and everyone to keep alive in the spirit, so that we will not be part of those people who will be tossing here and there. Because if you don't know the truth, you take whatever that was given to you. If you don't know that this is what you should accept, this is what you should not accept, there's likelihood that whatever comes your way, you take. But it's not expected that it shall be so with us. I believe that as long as we submit ourselves for the Holy Spirit to teach, as the right word is being given to you, your spirit, soul, and body will be transformed. And before long, you begin to do those things you are not able to do before. You begin to behave the way you are not used to behave before. And people will see and know that there is an element of Christ-likeness in you. I don't know if anybody can fault it. In the 70s up to the 80s, you don't doubt when you see a Christian on the road. Without making a statement, you will know that this sister or this brother is a Christian. Of course, you know that this man is a child of God. But today, some will have to explain to convince you that they are children of God. It ought not to be so. Every discipleship program is directed to bring about spiritual growth in the lives of the listeners. It's expected to create, spiritual growth. And not just spiritual growth, to create it in a specific direction, because every genuine child of God, where disciples have a direction that is going. That is why you cannot behave like any other person. You cannot go to any other place, every other place that people go to. You choose where you go to. You choose what you do. Romans chapter 8 verse 29. He said, God knew, I will read from Message Bible. Please, if you have Message Bible, please, I want you to show it. He said, God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. God can never make mistakes. He decided from the onset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son, Jesus Christ. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. So we see the original and intended shape of our lives in him. We must look at the life of Jesus and then shape our life with the life of Jesus. And that is why from the beginning God have designed it, that everyone that will claim to be a child of God must be that one who has decided to shape his life to conform with that of our Lord Jesus. No matter how you dress a goat, you can never call it a dog. No matter how you try to shape it, no matter what you will do, once you sight that, of you know that that thing is not a dog but a goat. There are certain characteristics that God expects from us that will make us look like Him. When you look at this picture here, you see discipleship grows believers in a direction. And what is this? It's expected that as you get born again and you get yourself to this teaching, there will be this, you know, a level of increase, spiritual increase in your life. And that spiritual growth will bring about a kind of transformation that will make you to conform to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anywhere you go to, people will identify you. Remember that in Acts chapter 11, just for 1.5 years, our brethren were under Paul and Barnabas. And as they stepped out after that 1.5 years, people knew them with Christ without them making any statement. Because he had been designed according to this Romans chapter 8 verse 29. That for you to be called a true disciple of Christ, you must bear the image of Christ in this life that we are. There is no compromise. And that is why I want to appeal to everyone here, anybody that is living hide and seek life, you are doing yourself. You may present yourself as being so nice, nobody knows, but you know, and God knows. The devil knows, and the Spirit of God knows. I may praise you and call you all kinds of good names, but what is your commendation before the Lord? What is God saying about you? And you know, most often such people are likely to condemn everybody around. But inside of them is sepulchre. I want us to know, we are not wasting time. When we go out, we take time, first of all, take time to pray. Pray for ourselves and pray for the people, because it will be a great disaster that after we have, you know, teach others that will become a castaway. It will not be so for us in Jesus' name. And it will not be so for you in the name of Jesus. That is why tonight you will search yourself. Look inward and ask yourself questions. Have I conformed? Am I living for Him? Or am I living for myself? Am I deceiving myself? For every disciple, there is these important goals, two important goals that must be achieved. And these important goals is that every discipleship program must prepare these disciples to be able to come to a level. Is designed for that disciple to come to that level that he might be like Christ, and he will be with Christ, be like Christ here on earth, be with Christ in heaven. These two goals, if you have it as a focus, whatever you do, whatever you say, whichever way you behave, if these two goals form a base in your heart, you will know that this life I am living, I'm not living for myself. I'm living for Christ. So my life should depict the life of Christ. My behavior should be the behavior of Christ. So that before you do anything, you will line it side by side with what Jesus would have done. And then at the back of your mind, you know that any day it comes, whether by rapture or by death, you will end it at his feet. That will make you to live a good life here on earth. And that is what you should look out for. Any design teaching that does not bring you to that level is not a good way of discipling you at all. It's not a good way. We are not preparing people for ourselves. And we are not growing for ourselves. We have a master, and our master is Jesus. Here on earth, you should have a say in our lives. And then waiting for us to end at his feet. What a wonderful way of living life. When we talk of Holy Ghost encounter every Thursday, it's so that Holy Spirit will be able to work in our lives so that we will be conforming to his image. That a time will come, as he said to us in the beginning, he will see us and be happy. And we will rejoice his heart. That is what he has in mind. When you look at this picture, you look at these two goats. From the point you get born again, you begin to take a walk. And how far you can walk and where you are ending that walk depends on what happened in between, what you are fed with. Because what you are fed with will make you to be like Christ. And because you have that, you are walking towards to be with Christ in heaven. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, you know, something happened. It just caught my attention this afternoon. That was the time Jesus was praying after he had seen what was before him. The price is going to pay. He was so heavy. The Bible says he prayed so much that the sweat that was dropping out of him was dropping blood. But he made this statement. He said, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Brethren, I want to appeal to every one of us. In everything we want to do, let's seek out the will of God. You can't say, oh, you want to be like Christ here on earth, and you are doing your own will. Where it pays you, you do. Where it's going to be difficult, you redefine. It's not supposed to be so. Christ is one. Christ cannot change. His ways cannot change. His principle cannot change. The Bible says in John. It said in 8 verse 32. I think it's John. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The truth of the word of God cannot be changed. Not by your own eloquence, not by your own intelligence. It cannot be changed. Brother, it's expected that we should live by that truth. Jesus knows that if he must fulfill the purpose for which he came, he will have to pass through that fire. And that was why he said, "Father, if it is possible, take it away. But nevertheless, I have come not to do my will, but your will." May we come to that point, looking at situation around us, looking at circumstances around us, and say, "Lord, I know it's not going to be easy, but I submit to you because your will is the best for me." For that moment, it might be painful, but the outcome, you cannot express how much of the joy that you have. In In this place, God gave us Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23. I want to recount it again. He said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grab the sleeve of a Jewish man," and I put there a member of Glory Tabernacle Ministry, "saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." This thing will happen not by broadcasting it, by what the people will see, the outcome of your life, what people will be able to deduce from your life. We make them to say, "Brother, sister, I think I have to follow you. Take me to that your God. I want to know that your God. I want to serve that your God." They are looking for people. They will say, "Go to this place. You will see people who will fit in for what you are looking for." And I believe that very soon we'll begin to see it in quantums in Jesus' name. And that is why we are praying, believing God. You know, we have Christian schools all over. But you agree with me that they are not really Christian school as it's supposed to be. One, some members whose children ought to have passed through that place cannot afford it. But I believe that any day, any time God helps us, not that we will lower the standard, but we'll bear in mind that we want to raise these children so that we will catch them young. By the time a child passed through nursery school, primary school, secondary school, in a Christian environment, receiving the right Christian teaching, if he gets to the university, he will be able to say no to evil. And then you prepare tomorrow. But if us that are supposed to do that, if we don't align, we may not be able to. Because you don't give what you don't have. And that is why it's very, very important that we have to do so. There are some expectations, but we'll just take just a few, about two or three. Every believer who considers this discipleship goals important in his or her life should be ready, one, to be faithfully and committedly made available himself or herself for fellowship. Look at how many we are here this evening. On Sunday, everywhere will be filled. And it's not as if up to one quarter of the people here on Sunday are walking outside. But they just want to come when it is convenient for them. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." The day of the Lord is fast approaching. Whether we accept it or not, it's nearer today than yesterday. Very soon, like a thief in the night, it will occur. Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? Oh, I'll be ready. I'll be ready. I'll be ready when the Lord shall come. I'll be ready. I'll be ready. I'll be ready when the Lord shall come. Will you be ready, brethren? We don't know when. We don't know how. Whether when you will be in the church, you will come. We don't know. Whether you will be at your marketplace. Let it not be at a time you were telling somebody, this is how much I bought this in, when it is not so, and the trumpet will sound. Brethren, we need to be very, very careful. We need to accept what God is giving to us here is the truth and nothing but the truth. And live by that truth because it will save us. Acts chapter 2 verse 41 and 42. Those who receive the word of God after they have been baptized, about 3,000 of them, they continue steadfastly. I want you to underline that thing in your scripture. Steadfastly, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. They didn't exempt themselves from hearing the truth. They didn't exempt themselves from fellowshipping with one another. There is strength, spiritual strength, when you come together. God has sustained some people because they did not avoid the fellowship of the brethren. They were able to pass through some difficult times and still remain. Because each time you come to the fellowship, there is always a word that will minister grace to you. That will make you believe that God is in that, you know, issue with you. But today, and we don't know that the word is taking us far away. We now hear people say, oh, I watch online. I attended the service online. Online is not the fellowship of the brethren. There are people now who are watching this program online. But it's not the same thing when we come together. If we say join our hands together, how are you going to join your hands online with someone here? If we say speak to your fellow brethren, how are you going to speak on him, to him or her online? That is the deceit of the devil. And we are buying it so fast. He said they continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread. They did not cease to give themselves to the word of God. No little wonder, no matter what they passed through that time, they were able to stand the test of time. And that is what God is expecting us. Don't think things will be better than it is now. No. But those that wait on the Lord and stand by the Lord, at any given point in time, they will be strong. And they will be able to do exploits. Those are the people who will escape. I plead with us, O brethren, that we should not, if we have been coming, don't be tired. Don't give up. We don't know when. We don't know how. Another thing is that we'll be passionate about our spiritual growth. Paul said to the Romans, he said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? We have been bound to Christ. We cannot be separated. Nothing on this planet Earth. Let it be anything. He began to name them. May we come to that point and say, it is me and Christ or nothing else. No matter what people say to you, you say, hold your word, but for me, it's me and Christ. Then we should seek to press forward according to Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a high calling. God wants you to come closer and closer to Him every day. There are things God cannot say to you now because you have not come close enough. There are some revelations you cannot get now because you have not come so close. And God is ever willing. We should be passionate about this, our spiritual growth. How do we offer ourselves to come close to Him? And then we'll be willing and desiring to be in His presence at all times. Nobody will be pushing us when it is time, until when they call you, before you remember there's Thursday prayer meeting, Bible studies, or Holy Ghost encounter. On Tuesday, some will be in their shop selling till 6, 7, but they cannot spare time to come, and they have forgotten that they are selling because they are alive. That He who kept them is able to sustain them. That 2 hours, God can replenish it if He knows how much you love Him. At times, it's a trial of your faith. That you may not have sold from morning till that 5 o'clock. And when it is a minute to, then people will begin to come. You should be able to come and say, I have an appointment with my God. Please, either you come back or you come tomorrow. You might be saying to me, Pastor Joseph, how am I going to feed? You are not the one feeding yourself. If you see that, if you are sincere, calculate what you have as an income and what you have consumed for that month. You will discover that it's almost half of what, or more than half of what you receive. Where do those things come from? It's from the Lord. But let's first of all show Him that we love Him. In Psalm 122 verse 1, David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of God. I was glad. It gladdens my heart. I always want to be in the presence of God. But today, people can mortgage the presence of God with their business. But God is saying no. And again, we have to make ourselves available to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. We can't transform ourselves. As we yield to the Word of God, the Word of God comes into us, mixed with faith in us, the power of the Holy Spirit will cause it to be internalized in us. And that is why you discover that there are some things you do, ordinarily you wouldn't have been able to do them. It's not by might, it's not by power. You know that when the disciples, when they went out and they suffered some humiliation, they went back to their company. And the Bible said in verse 23 of Acts chapter 4, He said, and be let go. They went to their own companies. They didn't go out to start complaining. They went back to the fellowship center. They went back to the group that they belong, where they can say the same language and raise up their voices unto the Lord. And they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Verse 31, He said, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaking. Why was it shaking? Because the presence of God was there. Can you get that online? Can you get that online? Let us not deceive ourselves. When we get our brethren, let us encourage them. There are things that cannot happen online. So where they were shaking. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Remember, they have been intimidated not quite long ago. But the Spirit of God has come to embolden them, that they began to speak again. And verse 33 said, and with great power the apostle gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Now, if we are here, let's assume we have the same number of the people watching online. And we are here. Here was shaking. The Holy Spirit came. And we received power. And great grace came. He said, for all of us that are here, not for those who are far away. Because the experience brings the result. I believe God tonight that will cry out that nothing will make me to miss the fellowship of the brethren. When we look briefly before we begin to pray, the effect of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. One, it will create transformation. Transformation will take place in your life. As you begin to yield yourself, you have been taught, you just discover that certain things will begin to happen to you. I share with my class here, it's not only the people you are teaching that is being touched. If really you are really teaching from the depth of your heart. That day we're studying about repentance from dead works. And suddenly it just came on me. It's not as if I was really quarreling with my uncle. I wasn't. But I just decided I couldn't understand him. And the Lord said, if you did, I was there. I have to voice out and ask them to pray for me that night I was going to call him. He said, if you distance yourself from me, what's the difference between you and him? And really, the class prayed for me seriously. And I called him that night. I couldn't get him. The next morning I called. What am I saying? By the time we finished, it was as if nothing has happened before. The kind of fellowship, the kind of joy, the kind of reconciliation, it was awesome. Would I have known that if I wasn't in that class? I was going my own way, feeling that nothing was wrong. And yet there was something wrong. I was asking myself, if Christ has come at that time, what would have happened to me? So, brethren, when we come together like this, things happen. It's part of the teaching to bring you closer to God. So transformation will take place in your life. You will change from one level of spiritual maturity to another. And that is why he said in that 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, he said, we all with unveiled face, those things that have been covering us will be removed. As we behold in a mirror, as the word of God is cleansing our heart, paving way for us, we begin to get transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus. We begin to get transformed. This change will begin to come. We begin to look more and more like him. That is the reason why he came to die for us. And all of this can only happen as you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. If when that thing happens, I suppress it, nothing will happen. Nothing. Oh, I just felt, I'm the teacher. Why will I say that kind of a thing? This is where we stay. If any of them is in this meeting, we'll remember. They passionately prayed because I desire they should pray for me. I felt I've not done well. I felt I should make up. I didn't even call to say, I with open heart, and I just discovered as if he was waiting for my call. Brethren, God is waiting for us. And as we come, we'll receive him. Another thing is that we will begin to bear his character and image. We'll begin to bear his character and image. You just discover that you who used to be very, very, violent, you just discover that you are calm. Somebody is talking to you, you are calm. You that would have shouted, you are just too calm. Because something is happening inside of you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19 says, that Christ may dwell in your heart by what? By faith. That ye be rooted and grounded in love. Do you know that when truly you love somebody from the depth of your heart, no matter anything, anybody can get offended by his action, but for you, it doesn't register any offense in your heart. Rather, you begin to find a way to help him or her out. Has it ever happened? Much more when you have the heart of Christ. He said, in verse 18, he said, may be able to comprehend with all sense what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all fullness of God. People will begin to see the nature of God increasing in your life. Say, this brother, I envy him. God, make me like that brother. Lord, make me like that sister. Can't you see how calm? He's ever smiling, no matter what is happening. He doesn't used to be so before, but something has happened inside of him that is making him to behave that way that you are now appreciating. And you know, like I said, in that Acts chapter 11, that was what happened. When Paul and Barnabas departed for, they came to Antioch. And they said it was for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught them a great deal. And the disciples, after that teaching, were first called Christians. Because by the time they finish, people who saw them, who knew them before, and saw them after that time, knew that something else has happened. And there is no other way to define it than to say their life, their nature, their behavior is like that Christ. What will people say about you? And another thing is that your spiritual growth will be consistent and be sustained as a true believer in Christ. It will be consistent. It will not be up today, down tomorrow. And it will be sustained. In Ephesians 4, 13 to 14, we have read it before, that we all come to the unity of faith. And to that knowledge of the Son of God. That will bring us to a perfect man. And bring us all to that measure of the stature of his fullness. And I pray tonight that God will help us to come to that level in the name of Jesus Christ. Before we begin to pray, in conclusion, a true believer cannot prevail without the involvement of the Holy Spirit. Irrespective of what you are passing through, as a genuine disciple of Christ, you must allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Give him right of way in your life. In the face of trials and temptations, he's the only one who can help you. The intervention of the Holy Spirit will embody you and bring out the best from you and give you a lasting joy. A lasting peace and strength for the journey ahead of you. We can't go through this journey without the Holy Spirit involvement. Because at some critical times, He's the one that we come to console, to encourage. It is the Holy Spirit that helps every disciple of Christ to overcome and prevail. Romans chapter 8 verse 37 says, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who did what? Who loved us. He's the only one. Can we rise on our feet? I will make it. I won't fall by the wayside. I will make it. I won't fail. I won't falter. I will make it, Lord, I believe. I will make it, Lord. I submit myself to you tonight. Help me, O Lord, to be like you in words, in thoughts, and in deed. All through my life, Lord, let me exhibit your nature. Help me, Lord. I can't help myself. I don't have all it takes to be like you. But I know as I come to you, you have all it takes to make me to be like you. I submit to you tonight. Help me, O Lord. I want to behave like you. I want to speak like you. I want to act like you. And it's only you that will help me. I can't do anything by myself because this flesh will always fail. But as I submit to you, by the help of the Holy Spirit, help me, O Lord. In every area of my life, I want to be like you, Lord. I want to be like you. Jesus. Jesus. You are the only one that can help me out. I want you to begin to talk to God. Tell God, help me to be faithful and committed to you. I want to be faithful and committed no matter what. Help me. Spirit of the living God, help me to be faithful and committed to you, Lord. That in everything, I will be found faithful. I will be found committed. That there will be no lacking in this area in my life. Help me, Lord. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Help me. I submit myself to you tonight. Help me. Lord Jesus, as you help me, grant me grace to bear your character and image. Anywhere I go to, let people say, this is a child of God. He exhibits the character of God. He bears the image of God. It will not be difficult for people to say, I am a child of God. Lord, help me. everything inside of me that is not of you, Father, flush them out tonight and fill it with your nature. Because there are some nature in us that only when occasion, you know, arises that it will pop up. But tonight, God can flush them out and fill it with his own nature. So that we will be like him. We will speak like him. We will act like him. We will react like him. Lord, help. Help us, O Lord. O Lord, help us. Pray that it will help you to be consistent with your Christian life and to be consistent in this Christian journey here on earth. Because where we are going is too far. It's only him that can help us to maintain the track. Never to shift either to the left nor to the right. No matter what, that we'll be able to be focused. That we will not jump lane. We will maintain our lane to him. Help us, Holy Spirit, King of glory. Help us, O Lord. It's only you that can help us, no one else. And that is why we come to you tonight, that you will help us. And Lord, we are asking tonight that you will lead us by your Spirit to fulfill our spiritual responsibility as a true disciples of Christ. Nothing will be lacking. Nothing will be missing. Everything will be intact. Everything will conform. You will see us and be glad. You will see us and rejoice. Our life will rejoice your heart. Ushakarabomo senderia, rima kasendere brumoko senderia, rekaliba mashendere bomo senderia, reka pasendere bomo senderia, reke sendere bama senderia. O Lord and our God, the great and awesome God, you are the only one that can help us. Lord, we want to be like you. Take my life and let it be consecrated unto thee. Take my moment and my day.
Gracious word you have blessed us with tonight. I pray, Lord God Almighty, that you help that each and every one of us will take that we have heard tonight to heart and to abide by your teaching in the name of Jesus. Let it be, O Lord God Almighty, that as we look at your word, we'll get transformed even unto the image of Christ in the name of Jesus. Let it be, Lord God Almighty, that as we get transformed, we will consistently walk and follow you in the name of Jesus. O Lord our God, deliver us from whatever it is that we distract our attention from you. Deliver us from whatever it is that we want to deceive us away from your path in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let your name be exalted in our lives and through our lives. We are grateful to you, Lord God. Thank you for your servant whom you have used to graciously teach us tonight. Let your grace continually manifest in his life in Jesus' name. We exalt you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise the Lord.